So, Mark, ever since President Trump was elected, research shows there's been just this explosion of new protests. We've seen the Women's March, which went global. Tensions at Standing Rock in North Dakota have heightened. The March for Science is just a few weeks away. Can you speak to this recent wave of social demonstration?
Well, absolutely. I think that there has been a huge resurgence of interest in the face of threats from the Trump administration, where people feel that our core values, like you mentioned, environmental rights, women's rights, some of these things are under assault, and they're using techniques of mass protest, civil disobedience, and civic engagement to try to affect politics. And I think that there's a very, very promising movements taking place.
And a lot of times the media portrays protest as disorganized, chaotic. Your research, though, shows otherwise. What have you found?
A lot of times the reaction to these and what political commentators have to say is very similar. They call them spontaneous. They call them emotional sort of outpourings of resistance. And therefore, they don't have a very good way of accounting for how they're a part of our political process. And in the argument in the book is that there's actually a craft to uprising, that we can understand the dynamics of these things. What are some of the things that are likely to trigger them? What are some of the things that are likely to make them more or less effective over time? And that's really what we want to get at, is studying that craft in a determined way.
And you also argue that nonviolence is not passive. As you put it, it's a strategy for confrontation. Why do you think peaceful protests are more effective than the alternative?
Well, what we're talking about is a field that's developed over the last 30 years, a field of study called civil resistance. And this field of civil resistance has looked at the application of strategic nonviolence in all sorts of different countries, often countries with undemocratic regimes, whether that's Poland or Serbia or Chile or the Philippines. And the interesting thing that we're talking about in this book is how we can take some of those lessons of nonviolent action in undemocratic regimes and how look at how they're applicable in a country like the United States. But the research from civil resistance, some of the best research we have, shows that movements using strategic nonviolence were actually as much as twice as successful in overthrowing and challenging those regimes than the alternative movements that were using armed conflict.
How do you think history will look back on this time and judge the social movements of today?
Well, I think what we see from history is a very different perspective on politics than we sometimes get in the moment. You know, in the moment, we're sort of trained to take leadership from elected officials, from politicians. And I think history shows that the dynamic is actually reversed, that politicians, in the grand scheme of things, are really taking leadership from the grassroots, from social movements. And I think whether that's any number of issues, from civil rights to the fight for $15 minimum wages, I think that we have a tremendous power to shape political discussion, to put these issues on the agenda, and to force politicians to follow.